Well, today's message is called The Love of Sin. How many of you love sin? How many of you won't admit that you love sin? Not too sure. Well, let me go ahead and continue on with this sermon today. The love of sin. The last couple of weeks, we've talked about some messages pertaining to our heart's condition. What is the condition of our heart? It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't understand our own condition of our heart. It's so terrible and so bad that we can't trust in it, we can't depend on it. And Paul stated, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And he finally notes and he says, "I praise God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the answer to our problems, amen? Today we're going to look at the condition of the heart once again. You know, David mentioned in one of his psalms as he was praying, he said, "Lord, in sin did my mother conceive me." What does that tell us about the condition and the nature of our human heart and our human lives? It's a propensity towards sin. In fact, so much so that the heart is so bent towards sin that we don't have to be taught how to sin. It's a natural inclination for us, if you will, to go ahead and sin. But we do have to be taught how to do that which is right. And I find that amazing. Throughout Scripture, David mentions this over and over again. You know, he says, "Oh, that I would do right. Oh, that I would do this. Oh, would I do this. And I end up doing this." Paul states, he said, "That what I want to do, I don't do. That what I hate, I end up doing." And he goes on and reminds us of our condition, our natural propensity towards sin. And David summed it up when he said, "I was born and conceived in sin." I mean, it's almost as if it's a part of our DNA. It's a part of our structure. We don't have to guess in how to sin and how to do wrong. But the Bible tells us and reminds us that we can be changed and transformed so that we won't sin. And I like this part of the Scripture. We can be changed, amen? We can be renewed. We can be transformed. And that's what we're going to look at today. The natural tendency of the heart is to love to do sin. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, we find an interesting verse that I'm sure you're all familiar with. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says this: "For the love of money is the root of what? All evil." Now, is money evil? No, it's the love of money that is evil here. Okay? So what is the Bible writer telling us here? The love for money is the root of all evil. In other words, the love of something is the root of evil. It's not the thing necessarily all the time that is sinful, but it's the love for it. And in fact, this word is very powerful. It's that agape love. It's that love, intent love that should be attributed to God. What's happening here? He's saying that the love of money is the root of evil. In other words, the love for something else, when we replace that love that should be towards God or for Christ, whenever we place that love on something else, evil is going to take place. In fact, let me illustrate by showing this with you. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus tells us once again the condition of our heart. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Well, we can start with verse 20. He says, "That which comes out of the man, that defiles the man." He goes on to say in verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, out of the heart of men proceed evil. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within that defile the man. From the heart comes, for the love of, if you will, for the love of, from within, the love of the heart precedes evil. In other words, if we take love and we replace it, if we don't put our love and affections upon heavenly things, we're going to naturally put it on earthly things. And whatever those earthly things are, out of the heart will produce that evil, will produce that sin, We have a natural inclination towards sin. We have a natural desire to love sin. But it's only through the power, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, do we have a transformation. Do we have a renewal, a changing about, going in the opposite direction where we love God more than we love things? Out of the heart, he says, the love of something. There was a rich man that came to Jesus. And as he approached Jesus, he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, go and sell everything and come and follow me. The man, as you know the story, went away very sorrowful, for he had many things. He was very wealthy. He lost eternal life. Where was his heart and affection set on? What were they placed upon? Where was his love? It was love of his money, his things, himself, his stuff, right? It wasn't on Christ. And when he had a love for those things, he lost out on what? Eternal life. Money was really not the problem. It was the pride of his own heart, the love for those things. You see, God has created us to love. Not long ago, we looked at a sermon, and we had a sermon, or I spoke a sermon, if you will, where the essence, the character, if you will, of God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 9, God is what? God is love. The very foundation and the principles of heaven are based on the foundation of love. And whenever we love sin more than God, we are going to fall into temptation. And I found as Christians, many times what we'll do and what we'll say to ourselves is we'll say, okay, I need to overcome this particular sin. And we will overcome this particular sin through great strength and through might and so forth. But then all of a sudden we transfer that love that we had for something else. We transfer that love that we had for that particular sin for something else. And now that becomes a sin for us. Let me illustrate it this way. In my early Christian experience, I had a very difficult time trying to give up the habit of smoking. All of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me one night through a revelation of prayers, and He showed me in a unique, powerful way through prayer how much He really loved me. And what He did was transfer that love for that smoking, for that nicotine, and He replaced it with His love that He gave to me for Him, and that was all it took. Smoking was no longer a problem. But I realized something in that experience, that if I did not, or God did not replace that love that I had for nicotine with His love, and if I wasn't careful to keep that love filled in my heart, there would be a natural inclination to turn towards something else to fulfill that loss. You see, where a human nature is, when we give up something, we want to replace it. If our car breaks down, we replace it. Of course, that's a natural means of getting around today. But if we get something taken away, we want to replace it. But what do we replace it with? If we're going to overcome sin, we must replace it with the love of Christ. We must replace it with the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have an innate part of our being that, as David said, he said in conception, he said, I was born, I was conceived in sin. We have a natural built-in somehow DNA in our bodies towards sin. We love it. After all, isn't that how Satan, Lucifer, fell from heaven? He had a love for himself. I will rise above the heights of God. I will sit. I will be. I will. He had an eye problem. I will be like God. I will do this, you see. He had a love for himself rather than a love for the Creator. And whenever we substitute that natural love that God wants to place within us, we are going to find a propensity towards sin and towards evil. Well, enough of that. That's the foundation, I suppose, of this sermon today. The natural tendency is to have a love towards sin, but God can renew, God can transform. Amen? That's the good news for us today. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 3, this is basically the new covenant, if you will, the New Testament, which isn't a new covenant, it's an old covenant. It's an old covenant that's being reiterated or reestablished in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, we can look at verse 2. It says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of what? Stone, but in fleshly tables of what? The heart. You see, friends, where has God always want to place His law? He's making a direct reference, by the way, to the Ten Commandment moral law. He's talking about the stones, where God wrote His finger, He wrote the law. But where does God want to place that law? Where does He want to put it? He wants to put it in our heart. All right? We can look back in the Garden of Eden. Do you see anywhere in the garden where Adam and Eve were walking freely about, do you see anywhere the law of God hanging on a tree or written on stone anywhere? You don't. Why? Where was it written? It was written in their hearts. And so really, this is not a new covenant. It's an old covenant that was established in the old. It was established in the old principles when God created the heavens and the earth, when He created the garden experience. God wanted to place into man the love for Him that was far greater than any natural love. Because when we naturally love, we naturally do right. Isn't that right? How many of you love your spouse? How many of you won't admit it? No. How many of you love your husband or your wife, you see? If you have a love for them, you're naturally going to be, you should be at least, inclined to do which is pleasing for your spouse. I'm going to pick on Heidi here a little bit, so I hope you don't mind. This week I was putting books on the bookshelf, and as I was putting books on the bookshelf, she says, you know, I want to paint the back of the bookshelves and the back side of those. They're built into the wall, by the way. And after all the painting I've been doing this week, I said, now I'm getting upset. Why in the world do you want me to paint the back of this bookshelf, you know? I mean, look at all this painting I'm doing already. You know, and she quietly, humbly walked away and let me stew in my upsetness. And about a half an hour later, there's this old film that we watched many years ago in our teenage years. And there's a servant boy who served the princess. And whenever she asked him to do something, he would say, as you wish, as you wish. So about a half an hour later, I said, as you wish. And I think we got back together and our marriage is fine now. But anyways, the point is, you know, the natural heart, the natural tendency of the heart is to do what is pleasing to me, not for the other. And that is the same thing in a relationship with God. The natural tendency of our heart is to do that which is good and pleasing for me, not what is pleasing in the eyes of God. And whenever we love self or love things more to God, we're naturally going to follow suit and do that which is evil. Because it just said in Luke chapter 21, did I read Luke 21 to you guys yet? Oh, okay, well, let's go to Luke chapter 20. Well, let me finish here first and then we'll go over. He says, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And Jesus binds up this foundational law in one principle. It's based in love. Amen? The Ten Commandment moral law is founded on love. Jesus told us, when a man came to Him and said, Lord, which is the greatest of the law? He was talking about the Ten Commandment law. And He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your what? In all your mind. And the second is like unto it. To do what? To love your neighbor as yourself, He says. So the law, the Ten Commandment law, is bound up, is saran wrapped, if you will. It's packaged in love. We don't need to go to the law and do a checkoff, you know, keep the Sabbath day holy, thou shalt not murder, you know, and pull out of our, okay, I can't murder today, man, you know. You see, Jesus took those two laws. He took the first one, the first four that had to do with their relationship with God, and He took the last portion of it had to do with a relationship with humanity. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, if you love God, then you're going to fulfill. You're not going to take the Lord's name in vain. You're not going to worship idols. You won't have any other gods before you. You're going to keep the Sabbath day holy. Why? Because you love God. Amen? And the second, He said, is like unto it. It's similar. It's the same. It's not just a love for God, but now it's a love for humanity. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All those things. That's about our relationship with humanity. And when we have love for our humanity, our natural inclination we should have is to not commit adultery, to not covet, to not, you see, if we have love. So we don't need a reminder of the law carrying around about us if we have the natural love that comes from heaven. But when we have the love that comes from man, that's when we get into trouble. Notice what the Bible says here in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Let's start with verse 20. Notice what he says here in Mark chapter 7, verse 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. Is it the sins that defile the man, or is it the sin in the heart that defiles the man? You see, the action follows the thought. When we decide, when we choose in our heart, then we follow. Then what follows afterwards is the sins. That's what comes naturally after when we choose in our hearts. Jesus went on to say, he said, hey, if a man should lust after a woman, what has he done? He's committed adultery. Where? In his heart. In other words, he didn't have to actually go follow through with the act of committing adultery because the act had already taken place. Where? In his heart. You see, and lust is a love for something else. It's a love for something outside of the marriage covenant. It's a love for something outside of the covenant that you make with God. You see, whenever we place our love on something else, and you see the problem here is that when we find ourselves in sin, it's because we love sin more than we love God. It's amazing. And God is the one that has to transform and to renew this. Notice what else he says in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men. And you can transform, you can almost translate it this way as well. For out of the love of men proceed evil. In other words, out of the love for self, you see? Out of the love for self will naturally produce evil. And as David said earlier, as I was sharing earlier, he said, I was conceived in sin. We have a natural inclination towards sin. We love sin. Why is it that you don't have to teach little brother to hit big sister? You know? Why? It's a natural part of them. Why do we have to teach the younger not to hit the older and the older to take care of the younger and vice versa? You know? Because it's naturally not a part of us. But the amazing thing and the power of Scripture and the power of Jesus is that He can make good natural to us. That's my hope. He goes on, I suppose we can end with that, but he says, from within the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and that's what defiles the man. It's not the act. The action is what followed what came from within. The love of sin. Well, God has a solution for us. He wants to write those tables. He wants to write that new covenant within our hearts. The Bible goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 3, He tells us that He will put His Spirit within us. There's a power that works from within that comes from above, and that power is Christ. That power that comes from within, that comes from above, the Holy Spirit that testifies of Jesus. You see, what God can do for us, what we cannot do for ourselves. The impossible. When the disciples came to Jesus one day and they were talking about hardly a rich man entering the kingdom of heaven, the disciples responded, well, Lord, then who can be saved? Again, that's the question, who can be saved? Jesus responded, with men, this is impossible. With God, what? You see here, friends, the condition of the man's heart, men and women, man's heart is naturally in love with sin. And so Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, when God wants to write on the tables of our heart His law, He wants to place within our heart His love. If the essence, and I hate to use that word essence because it gives God a kind of trivial, if the very nature and the character of God is love, then what God wants to place within us is His love. We must then, it is our responsibility, to substitute, to exchange, if you will, the love, that our natural love, in our hearts. We have to substitute or transform it or exchange it for the love that comes from heaven. This is where Ezekiel 36 comes into play. And let's look at that verse again. Ezekiel 36, 26. Ezekiel chapter 36, our scripture reading for today. This is the new covenant in the Old Testament. So again, it's not really a new covenant. It's something that God wanted to establish from the very beginning. I like how God works, because the very moment that Eve partook of the fruit that she wasn't supposed to, that very instant God began to work to recreate Adam and Eve, to recreate the human race so that they can once again enter in to the lost Eden. Amen? I mean, the moment that sin entered is the very moment that God established. I mean, he says from the foundations of the world he was crucified. I mean, they had a plan in place to restore man to his rightful position. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that is powerful to me. It's exciting to know that God wants to reinstate us. Well, in Ezekiel 36, 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." I mean, you can look at it this way. A new love also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony love of your flesh, and I will give you a love of flesh. In other words, he will take the stony love, that love that we have, the inclination, the heart that's bent towards evil, that's bent towards sin, he will take that from us if we allow him and let him put within us his love. And how does he do that? By his Spirit. You see that, friends? The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit working in the life transforms and renews. With men, this is impossible, but with God, what? All things are possible? Now think about this for a moment. Is the Holy Spirit part of the Godhead? Yes or no? Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes, he is. And the Bible is very, very, very clear. Wherever God is, what? That's holy. Now I want you to think about this for a moment here. In Corinthians, it says that our bodies are the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. So therefore, if we allow God to dwell within us, we are what? We are holy. Do you understand that? We are holy. Wherever God is holy. So how are we to present our bodies? The Bible says as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You see what God is doing? He's taken away to the stony heart. And the heart is talking about the thoughts, the love of. It's not talking about the literal beating heart, you see. He's talking about the heart of man, our thoughts, our reasoning, our love, our compassion. And really, everything is based on this one fact. What do we love? Because we are created to love. We are created to worship. And if we don't allow God to take away that heart of flesh, or that heart of stone, and give us a heart of flesh that's beating and throbbing with the life-giving power of Jesus, friends, we're going to be eternally lost. He goes on to say here, "A new spirit, a new heart also I give you." And then he says, "I will give you a heart of flesh." And then notice he says in verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you and to cause you to walk in my" what? "My statutes." Right? "And you will keep my judgments and do them." This is synonymous with keeping his law. Now, think about this for a second. We cannot keep God's law by ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to keep his law. If that is the case, then the foundation of God's law is what? Love. Then what needs to take place in our hearts? We need to have a renewed love that comes from heaven. And that can only take place through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way it can take place. When I sin, it's because I choose me over God. When I choose to fall into temptation, it's because I choose to love myself, to love that thing more than God. So a conversion then needs to take place in the heart. A renewing of the heart and mind needs to be taking place in my life. How is that accomplished? Once again, through the Holy Spirit. A prophet by the name of Ellen White mentioned something that was pretty radical. She said that it is possible for man to be perfect in his sphere as God is in his. Well, Jesus elaborated on that and said it quite frankly to us. He said, I want you to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You mean we are to become perfect? You see, love is the fulfilling of the law. Perfect love casts out all fear, you see. Love must be the transcript, if you will, of our hearts and our minds and our lives. We must absolutely be transformed in love if we're ever going to see the kingdom of heaven. We must be transformed. We must have a love that's really out of this world, if you will. When he says, I will put a new spirit within you, he's not kidding around. When he says he can put a new spirit within us, he's telling us that he can take the heart, he can transform it, and he can renew it. And so when he looks at the heart, when he sees the heart, he sees Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the life, he sees Christ. And when he sees Christ, when God sees Jesus, he sees you and I as though we were made what? Perfect, without sin. How is this possible? It's a miracle that takes place that God does for you what we cannot do for ourselves. You can begin to take an evaluation of your life. And you can look at the fruit of the Spirit. Have to turn there, but you can begin to evaluate your life and say, am I really walking in love? The fruit of the Spirit bears long, is long-suffering, is loving, kind, compassionate, and all these things. What is your heart like, you see? And we can measure ourselves according to the fruit of the Spirit, because where the fruit of the Spirit is, it should be a natural tendency for us to outflow of us the fruits of the Spirit. Love for one another, love for God, compassion for each other, a caring, generous heart, you see? If those things are not in place, then it tells us much of the condition of our heart. In Romans chapter 12, I'd like to close with this verse today. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is what is good, and acceptable, and the perfect, you hear that? The perfect will of God. The transforming of the heart and the mind is allowing the love of Jesus to overflow into your life. My prayer, maybe our prayer should be, Lord, exchange my love for your love. Take away the natural love that I have of this world and the things of this world for the love of heaven. Let me have the love of you, Lord, not my love. Jesus said, he says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is. So therefore, place your treasures in heaven, you see. Do we love the things of heaven? People have asked me, hey, how do you think about your new house? I said, another place to lay my head. I guess I'm excited, you know. But I want to be one of the first people to throw the mortgage in the fire when Jesus comes, amen. I want to be the first one to drive my Ford Focus into the fiery flames, you see. I want to throw that computer and XP into the fire. I mean, it'd be a joy to me just to take all my stuff and throw it into the fire because I know I have a better place. You see, where are your affections? Where is your heart? Where is your love centered? If you're not careful, if you're too concerned about the love of self and the things around you, you'll probably miss out on the heavenly things that God wants to restore to you.